5997. It's almost eerie how well the next day works out. I wake up early, 6 in the morning. I wake up as a girl with a car and a license, in a town only an hour away from Rhiannon's. I apologize to Amy Tran as I drive away from her house, a half hour after waking up. What I'm doing is, no doubt, a strange form of kidnapping. I strongly suspect that Amy Tran wouldn't mind. Getting dressed this morning, the options were black, black, or black. Not in a goth sense. None of the black came in the form of lace gloves, but more in a rock and roll sense. The mix in her car stereo puts Janis Joplin and Brian Eno side by side, and somehow it works. I can't rely on Amy's memory here. We're going somewhere she's never been. So I did some Google mapping right after my shower, typed in the address of Rhiannon's school, and watched it pop up in front of me. That simple. I printed it out, then cleared the history. I have become very good at clearing histories. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I'm poking a wound, not healing it. I know there's no way to have a future with Rhiannon. All I'm doing is extending the past by a day. Normal people don't have to decide what's worth remembering. You are given a hierarchy, recurring characters, the help of repetition, of anticipation, the firm hold of a long history. But I have to decide the importance of each and every memory. I only remember a handful of people, and in order to do that, I have to hold tight because the only repetition available, the only way I'm going to see them again, is if I conjure them in my mind. I choose what to remember, and I am choosing Rhiannon. Again and again, I am choosing her. I am conjuring her because to let go for an instant will allow her to disappear. The same song that we heard in Justin's car comes on. And if I only could, I'd make a deal with God. I feel the universe is telling me something, and it doesn't even matter if it's true or not. What matters is that I feel it and believe it. The enormity rises within me. The universe nods along to the songs. I try to hold on to as few mundane, everyday memories as possible. Facts and figures, sure. Books I've read or information I need to know. The rules of soccer, for instance. The plot of Romeo and Juliet. The phone number to call if there's an emergency. I remember those. But what about the thousands of everyday memories, the thousands of everyday reminders that every person accumulates? The place you keep your house keys, your mother's birthday, the name of your first pet, the name of your current pet, your locker combination, the location of the silverware drawer, the channel number for MTV, your best friend's last name. These are the things I have no need for. And over time, my mind has rewired itself. So all this information falls away as soon as the next morning comes, which is why it's remarkable, but not surprising, that I remember exactly where Rhiannon's locker is. I have my cover story ready. If anyone asks, I am checking out the school because my parents might be moving to town. I don't remember if there are assigned parking spaces, so just in case, I park far from the school. Then I simply walk in. I am just another random girl in the halls. The freshmen will think I'm a senior, and the seniors will think I'm a freshman. I have Amy's school bag with me, black with anime details, filled with books that won't really apply here. I look like I have a destination, and I do. If the universe wants this to happen, she will be there at her locker. I tell myself this, and there she is, right there in front of me. Sometimes memory tricks you. Sometimes beauty is best when it's distant. But even from here, 30 feet away, I know that the reality of her is going to match my memory. 20 feet away. Even in the crowded hallway, there is something in her that radiates out to me. 10. She's carrying herself through the day, and it's not an easy task. 5. I can stand right here and she has no idea who I am. I can stand right here and watch her. I can see that the sadness has returned. And it's not a beautiful sadness. Beautiful sadness is a myth. Sadness turns our features to clay, not porcelain. She is dragging. Hey, I say, my voice thin, a stranger here. At first, she doesn't understand that I'm talking to her. Then it registers. Hey, she says back. Most people, I've noticed, are instinctively harsh to strangers. They expect every approach to be an attack, every question to be an interruption. But not Rhiannon. She doesn't have any idea who I am, but she's not going to hold that against me. She's not going to assume the worst. Don't worry, you don't know me, I quickly say. It's my first day here. I'm checking the school out, and I really like your skirt and your bag. So I thought, you know, I'd say hello, because to be honest, I am completely alone right now. Again, some people would be scared by this, but not Rhiannon. She offers her hand, introduces herself as we shake, and asks me why there isn't someone showing me around. I don't know, I say. Well, why don't I take you to the office? I'm sure they can figure something out. I panic. No, I blurt out. Then I try to cover for myself and prolong my time with her. It's just, I'm not here officially. Actually, my parents don't even know I'm doing this. They just told me we're moving here and I wanted to see it and decide whether I should be freaking out or not. Rhiannon nods. That makes sense. So you're cutting school in order to check school out? Exactly. What year are you? A junior? So am I. Let's see if we can pull this off. Do you want to come around with me today? I'd love that. I know she's just being nice. Irrationally, I also want there to be some kind of recognition. I want her to be able to see behind this body, to see me inside here, to know that it's the same person she spent an afternoon with on the beach. I follow her. Along the way, she introduces me to a few of her friends, and I am relieved to meet each one, relieved to know that she has more people in her life than Justin. The way she includes me, the way she takes this total stranger and makes her feel a part of this world, makes me care about her even more. It's one thing to be loveworthy when you're interacting with your boyfriend. It's quite another when you act the same way with a girl you don't know. I no longer think she's just being nice. She's being kind, which is much more a sign of character than mere niceness. Kindness connects to who you are, while niceness connects to how you want to be seen. Justin makes his first appearance between second and third period. We pass him in the hall. He barely acknowledges Rhiannon and completely ignores me. He doesn't stop walking, just nods at her. She's hurt, I can tell, but she doesn't say anything about it to me. By the time we get to math class, fourth period, the day has turned into an exquisite form of torture. I am right there next to her, but I can't do a thing. As the teacher reduces us to theorems, I must remain silent. I write her a note as an excuse to touch her shoulder, to pass her some words, but they are inconsequential. They are the words of a guest. I want to know if I changed her. I want to know if that day changed her, if only for a day. I want her to see me, even though I know she can't.